You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. East Coast at 10:02. Good morning to you. Lunch is only an hour and 58 minutes away. Yeah. So good morning to you on a Friday. So I woke up and I started reading this morning. At about 3 in the morning. I started reading, and the first thing I read was something that caught my eye about Australia. Australia is going through this turmoil about What do they do with China? Right? What the hell does Australia do with China? And it's the dilemma. All right? So I start reading it. So the headline is, Australia weighs the cost of resisting China's meddling. All right. The article. Chinese Premier Li Qingquang, I don't know how you say it, Li Keqing, K-E-Q-I-A-N-G, Premier Li Keqing visited Australia. I think that's in the ballpark right there. I need to brush up on my Chinese. Visited Australia in March of 2017. He had a clear message for policymakers. There's no need to pick sides between Washington and Beijing. More than a year later, that's becoming even harder for Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. A slew of recent media reports showed that China's Communist Party was covertly meddling with media, universities, lawmakers, which prompted a public outcry in Australia. Turnbull responded by backing new legislation to clamp down on foreign interference in politics and business, which may be put to a vote in the coming weeks. In December, he used broken Mandarin to paraphrase a quote attributed to Chairman Mao Zedong during China's founding, saying, quote, the Australian people stand up and assert their sovereignty. The heightened tensions have unleashed a debate in Australia over societal cost of increased economic dependence on China. This is, so it's really interesting because this is like the way of China. And it's awesome because it's laid up because the Australians are having to deal with it. Right? So remember, they set the hook by opening trade with you, right? Manufacturing is better for your manufacturers, right? Your producers, farm producers, it's better for them. They're happy. It's all good, right? Wrong. Because remember, when you dance with the mafia, at some point, you're going to pay a price for that. Okay? They don't do anything for free. Vito Corleone took the body of Michael. Right? To the mortuary affairs guy. And he said, someday, I'll do you a favor. Anyway. In the past decade, China has become Australia's top trading partner, biggest provider of foreign students, and the largest source of tourism revenue. China accounted for 29% of Australia's two-way commerce. Right. Okay, so let's round that off. China accounted for approximately 30% of Australia's two-way commerce in 2016, nearly double from a decade earlier, as it snatched up Australia's iron ore and coal to feed its construction boom. Big graph that shows exports to China, economic activity to the United States, and exports to Japan. Okay, exports to Japan used to be upwards of 40% of their trade. Now it's less than 20, at about, looks like about 15. The United States at its high point was about 18%, and right now it sits at about 5%. Mandarin is now Australia's second most spoken language. It's seen on traffic signs, on tourist roads. Celebrations of Chinese New Year, once confined to Chinatowns of major cities, are now common features of suburban centers and regional towns. China understands it can use economic leverage to get us to shift our foreign policy and tone down our rhetoric, said Malcolm Davis, a senior analyst at the Australian Strategy Policy Institute and a former advisor to the government on defense policy. Quote, everyone has long understood what China is about. The difference is, now we're starting to fight back. On a visit to New Zealand this week, former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton called China's efforts to gain influence in foreign countries, quote, a new global battle. She said Chinese interference in domestic policy was apparent in Australia, New Zealand, and the U.S., according to The Guardian, which is a U.K. publication. China fired back on Tuesday. Right? And this is awesome. This is awesome. How do you know the Chinese are lying? Their lips are moving. China fired back on Tuesday with Foreign Ministry spokesman Zheng Shuang. Yeah, my Chinese is already getting better. Says statements about Beijing's so-called political interference have been floating around for quite some time. China is opposed to interference in another country's foreign affairs, and we will not do that. Such statements are nonsense, groundless, and are meant to stir up trouble. Right. The article goes on. In many ways, it's natural for a rising China to expand its influence in the region, as the U.S. questions the benefits of a global leadership role. And some unease is to be expected, particularly with China's increasingly strong economic and military clout. But here's the hook, okay? The hook is set with what? Right? The hook is set with a with the economics. You have factory owners, you have workers, you have farmers, right? You have truckers, all the people that are involved in this kind of economic activity. The article goes on. Still, the business community is concerned. Patrick Hutchison, chief executive of the Australian Meat Industry Council, said he's worried that mounting tensions are to blame for the delay in a deal Lee signed last year, paving the way for more than $300 million of annual Australian beef and lamb exports to China. Everything was signed. We moved forward. Now we're seeing the protocols are taking far longer than expected. It's like a marriage. Occasionally you say the wrong thing and you pay for it. Australia's government declined to give a reason for the holdup, with the Department of Agriculture and Water saying, quote, market access negotiations are confidential, complex, and do take time. Other industries are on edge. Universities in Australia, where about a third of all overseas students are Chinese, flinched when Beijing's embassy in Canberra in December warned of, quote, a rising number of insulting incidents against the 231,000 students in the country. What? 200, that's almost a quarter, that's over almost a quarter million students, Chinese students in Australia. That's not a small number. That came after the head of Australia's intelligence agency said authorities need to be, quote, very conscious of foreign interference in universities, right? And the same stuff has been documented here in the United States. China has overtaken New Zealand to become the largest source of international visitors. That's right, tourism up. Quote, I'm worried about my business if the relationship continues to deteriorate, said Kevin Zhang, chief executive officer of Australia's Argyle Hotel Group, which has most of its dozens of hotels in Asian countries. Quote, the economic and trade relations between the two countries cannot be separated from politics. Tensions began to escalate last year when Senator Sam Dastari, an opposition lawmaker, resigned over close ties with a Chinese-born businessman. Dastari asked the businessman to pay $1,200 travel bill and warned that his phones were being tapped by Australian intelligence agencies. Turnbull cited that betrayal in introducing his foreign interference law, which if passed will ban foreign political donations and require people or organizations acting in the interests of overseas powers to register and disclose their ties. China pushed back. See, this is how it goes, right? You dance with the devil. It's like what's going on in Mexico, right? The drug cartels. We already bought this country. What do you mean we don't own it, right? We bought it fair and square. Do you want to see the pink slip? We'll show it to you. What do you mean we can't do whatever we want here, right? Wrong. China pushed back, with its foreign ministry rebuking Turnbull for helping poison the relationship. A survey conducted by the Communist Party-backed Global Times in December showed 60% of respondents believe Australia was the least friendly country to China, with the newspaper saying Chinese students and executives, quote, have been depicted as spies or government agents. And then the footnote should be, the fact is, only a few of them are spies and government agents. Quote, certain people in Australia have failed to discard the zero-sum mentality and are unable to look at and handle its relations with China in a correct way. Australian media outlets have run stories on a diplomatic freeze, with reports saying China canceled a planned visit to Beijing by Turnbull in March. The two nations are trying to work through complex and difficult issues. I don't understand what's going on. China stands ready to use its trade leverage to hit Australia if ties deteriorate further, says Zhao Xingkai, a former diplomat and director of the China National Association of International Studies in Beijing. China can easily find a replacement for Australian products, but Australia cannot find a market with the size of China. Therein lies the conundrum. When you dance with Satan, you dance with Satan. So it would seem to me that it would be in the world's interest that a nation that is the rival of China, India, should be put on economic steroids. And then Australia can sell its stuff to India because they would be growing and be able to afford it. And screw China. Upon taking power in 2015, Mr. Turnbull, Malcolm, toughened up Australia's stance against China by criticizing its expansionist policies in the South China Sea. 5 months later, his government cited the growth of China's national power to bolster Australia's own defense spending. Still, Turnbull has to strike a balance. Australia has resisted President Trump's request to join the U.S. in naval patrols testing China's territorial claims in the South China Sea. Okay, so here's the dance. You want to piss China off? Do you want to have the unmitigated gall to announce that the emperor is wearing no clothes at the parade when everybody else is saying, nothing to see here. Look at his fine robes. Yeah, he naked. He's just a fat, naked king. That's what that dude is. And that's what the Chinese are. Okay, they're attempting to confiscate the South China Sea. Right? That's what they're attempting to do. In a February briefing in Washington with President Trump, Turnbull said that he sees China's rise as overwhelmingly a positive, while imploring it to follow a rules-based system where big countries can't push around little countries. Doug Ferguson, KPMG, Sydney-based deal advisor who lived in China for a decade, quote, there's no other market that can compare or fill the gap if we don't get our long-term strategy right with China. So what does that mean? That means acquiescence to China. That's what it means. China has told regional carriers to take down or global carriers to take down certain references on their websites that other countries have relative to China. They also tell Google about certain things that they don't like either. So it's the world according to the Chinese. Here's what I think is kind of interesting, and it'll be interesting as the Chinese attempt to somehow or other send all these people away to foreign countries to be educated, and then come back to China to what? To live how? Under communist rule? Do you think that educating those people in free societies and bring them back home at some point, that isn't going to cost you your dictatorship? So, anyway, so I read that. I posted it on Twitter and on Facebook. The other thing, you can find it there if you check out All Marine Radio stuff. The other thing I would recommend that you check out that I posted on Twitter a little bit ago. I even made the graphic that I put up that says worth a read. Australia considers legislation to counterbalance Chinese economic belligerence and political interference. Okay. It's kind of the Chinese flag. It says China on it with a fist. It's going to smash your one. Yeah. And a symbol of the Chinese yuan on it. So, or yuan, yen, whatever you call that thing. Yeah. Angela, Andrea, same thing. The other thing I put up is something that the DOD produced yesterday. It explains what happened in Niger. You know, the forces of Niger, we don't call those, do we call those Nijarian? And if you call those Nijarian, what do you call Nigeria's forces? Nigerian? Yeah, I don't. They're two confusing countries. Okay, you have to peel out your map. Okay, and you can figure it out. Nigeria is along the coast. All right, Niger is inland. Right in the heart of, well, not the heart, in the heart of northern Africa. Okay, then you go kind of near the equator. Is that the equator? Yeah, I guess it is. Wow. Interesting. I just surprised myself with my stupidity. Yeah. Okay, if I were to ask you, where does the equator run? What would you tell me? If I close my eyes, I would say generally in the vicinity of the Panama Canal, okay, across North Africa, probably Egypt, goes through India, right? And if I said that, guess what? I would be wrong on all counts. That's what kind of stopped me. That's a little bit humbling, all right? All right, so if we start in South America, the equator goes through, of all places, Ecuador, Brazil, all right, then Africa. It goes through the southern third of Africa. Yeah, so it goes through northern South America, the southern third of Africa, maybe... It's not the southern half. It's probably between a half and a third. If I cut Africa in half, it's between the one-half and one-third line. So I'm not sure what that makes it. Two-fifths, something like that. And then it goes through Malaysia, Indonesia. It goes north of New Guinea, right? So south of Vietnam, south of the Philippines, way south of Hawaii, and then back to... Yeah, that's kind of, I'm a little bit surprised. I thought again, this is just in my mind, okay? And I know you're thinking, Mac, you're a dumbass. That doesn't really matter to me, okay? For whatever reason, I'm feeling liberated today. So if you think I'm a dumbass, then too bad. But that's just, I love maps, by the way. Have I told you that recently? I do. I really love maps. So, I was doing map work yesterday. If you haven't checked out the battle study with General Neil and the Flaming Eye, which is India Company 3rd Battalion 9th Marine, check that out. It's got a whole bunch of cool maps in it now. If you haven't looked at it yet, I can't imagine that. But if you've been that foolish, because the battlefield studies are pretty cool things. So if you have a couple hours, check out General Neil's. But if you check on that, there's some cool stuff in there. It's entitled Battlefield Study India 3-9 at Getland's Corner in 1967, General Butch Neil, USMC retired. So you click on that, and then there's a map of where they fought, and then a few pictures of General Neil, two from his book, and then one from his biography. And then there's links to the operations journal from 3rd Battalion 9th Marines in 1967 from March 29th to March 31st. So you can find those source documents. Yeah. Done on a typewriter with all their markings. So you can check those out. Yeah. So I found those with the help of the historical division. And you can see the reports. Company I, let's see. What's this report? 0700. Report number 2 on the 29th of March. Companies I and it looks like E, but it can't be E if it's Serb Battalion. Starter platoon size, patrols, O and L. Company INL started platoon-sized patrols in the area of operation in accordance with Operations Overlay 1-TAC-67. Company M and the command group remained in position pending Company I clearing the area. So it's a typewritten stuff, and it was included in some kind of other document because it's labeled Enclosure 3. So anyway, you can go check that out. In addition to that, there's a Leatherneck magazine article that really they were separated. All right, so General Neill was with 1st Platoon. The article deals with 2nd Platoon and the company CP and what they went through. Neill's mentioned in the article. And then his book, there's a link to his book entitled What Now, Lieutenant? So if you want to buy that, and I'd recommend buy it and read it. There's links to maps. There's a general area of operation, so you can see, let's see, starting at, in the west, the Rock Pile, Camp Carroll, Cam Lo Combat Base, then Dong Ha, and then as you go north, you see Kantian up by the DMZ, as well as Jiaolin, another combat base closer to the coast. So you see that, and then you see the where India 39 was operating in general vicinity. You see their positions on the evenings of 29 March 1967 and 30 March. And then you see a Google Earth image. Yeah, so you see Google Earth image, kind of zoomed down, of how the terrain looks today and where the grids plot out that were in the official reports. Yeah, as you can see, I love this kind of stuff, you know, because you can, you know, you don't have to look at some stupid two-dimensional black and white map on a book page anymore. You can go, you can fly there, you can see it, you can see it. So it shows the terrain, and then this has been my project for the last week since I started looking at maps of Vietnam. Yeah, old Mac, all the I Corps maps, Northern I Corps maps are in one crazy PowerPoint now that I own. That's right, that I own. That's right, I own it. I built it, and I think I'm done with it. I had to go through and see all the 1 to 50,000 maps that remain. And there's a website that has them. And so, yeah, boom. Old MacDonald got them all, cropped them, put them together in one big, exciting PowerPoint. That's right. That's how I do it. So pretty exciting stuff. Maybe not. We're going to talk about grilling today with the chef. So in 30 minutes, a bunch of them. I will have to tell you, Stars and Stripes asked a question that, you know, after watching the video, and you should watch the video because it shows the ambush that these guys got in. They were certainly surprised. They were overwhelmed by the numbers. They sought to break contact once, got hemmed in again by the force because it was so large that was attacking them, and then withdrew through a swamp, and ultimately that's how the survivors survive. Otherwise, they would have been killed as well because they abandoned the last vehicle and were on foot. So in the briefing yesterday, first of all, a couple of interesting things about it. AFRICOM, this took place in their jurisdiction. They were allowed to investigate it, right? So it happened under your watch, and you're going to investigate yourself. Okay, that's interesting. And then second of all, so far, nobody knew what was going on. It's so two, essentially company commanders, relatively low-level commanders, are the ones that misrepresented what was actually happening. Nobody else knew what was going on. So, am I believing that? Is that? Let me tell you what I've learned by hanging around the military since 1983. What I've learned is that you get raised, you're responsible for everything your unit does or fails to do. Except when something goes really wrong. And then what happens is junior people get blamed for it. That's why you see the bullshit you see at the recruit depots, right? Because the guys in charge, they don't get held accountable. So there's a Marine in charge of Africa, General Walter. He's the convening authority of the investigation. So I guess he's not culpable. Well, who is? Who was responsible for this? Who was responsible for these guys? And if you didn't know, guess what? That's too bad. You should have known. You should have been out there talking to these guys. You should have known what they were doing. Or else what I would expect is the company commanders who lied to you about these missions, I would expect them to be court-martialed. But, I read a story yesterday, it's of the officer of the deck. Pleads guilty to negligence. Okay. Now, what's interesting is she was already NJP'd. Okay. Then the Navy decide, yeah, that's not enough. We're going to bring her back and we're going to court-martial her. Okay. So pretty interesting. So listen to this. When the Fitzgerald collided with the ACX Crystal, the malfunctioning SPS-37 bridge radar was tracking more than 200 surface tracks, a mix of large merchant ships and fishing vessels near the coast of Japan, according to the findings of fact in the trial. So when you do a court-martial, the investigation comes back with findings of fact. This is a fact. This is a fact. This is a fact. This is a fact. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, that's what gets laid out for everybody. Then you consider it. You have a verdict and you sentence. Kopic was under orders for the ship to cross a busy merchant shipping lane, a so-called traffic separation. All right, that's like you have lanes in the water. Right, you just don't drive wherever you want to in busy parts of the ocean. Okay, we do that in the sky too, just like we do it on the interstate. Yeah, imagine interstate in the water, imagine interstate in the sky. Those are all air lanes and shipping lanes. She was also ordered to keep the ship moving at a high rate of speed during the transit, 20 to 22 knots. The high speed lowered the time the crew could react to ships around them. Kopic said she didn't rely enough on the officers on watch in the ship's combat information center to help her keep track of the surface contacts as a backup to her crew on the bridge. Prosecutors and defense attorneys said the conditions aboard Fitzgerald made the collision more likely. Quote, Kopic failed her duties, but she received very little support, said prosecutor Lieutenant Commander Paul Hockmuth. Being complacent was the standard on the USS Fitzgerald. During the sentencing portion of the trial, lawyers for the defense outlined the gapped billets and the inability to complete training on Fitzgerald. For example, the ship had been without a chief quartermaster for 2 years before the collision. The SPS TAC-73 navigational radar was unreliable, defense attorney Lieutenant Ryan Mooney said, quoting from the Navy's investigation into the collision. The watch standard in the CIC who operated the SPS-67 search and surveillance radar was unfamiliar with the system. Lieutenant Kopic was not put in a position to succeed, Mooney said. She was set up to fail. As part of her statement to the court, Kopic described a tattoo on her left wrist that she got shortly after she returned to shore after the collision. The tattoo includes the coordinates of the location of the collision, the motto of the ship, Protect Your People, and seven shamrocks, one for each of the sailors who drowned in the flooded berthing. Quote, I'll never forget the coordinates, she told the judge. I spent 2 hours yelling it in a radio trying to get help. You know what? All that's great. You know? All that's great. Seven people are dead because you didn't do your job. And if you were confused, guess what? You should have woke somebody's ass up. And if the speed was not correct, you should have adjusted the speed and woke the CO up. Okay, but when you don't do any of that, you know, it's great that you now have a tattoo. You know? But your negligence has tattooed your soul with the guilt that you can't ever escape. So what you put on your wrist is irrelevant to me. The court martial now supersedes a non-judicial punishment issued by then Seventh Fleet Commander Vice Admiral Joseph Acoin for Kropik shortly following the collision. Can you imagine that? She's the officer of the deck, and she receives NJP. She wasn't court-martialed. Seven people were killed. The Navy's bullshit. Her case was reconsidered for court-martial, you think, following the assignment of Admiral James Caldwell, Director of Naval Reactors, as the Consolidated Disposition Authority, who was appointed to oversee additional accountability for actions on the Fitzgerald and the McCain. One military attorney told United States Naval Institute, they published proceedings, news that trying a service member at court-martial after assigning punishment at NJP is an unusual move. It's unusual to follow non-judicial punishment with a court-martial, said Butch Brackle, a former Marine. Exactly. You know if his name's Butch. This is the second Butch we've had on. They're always Marines. Told USNI News on Tuesday. So the increased punishment is effectively a couple $1,000 fine and a misdemeanor conviction on a charge of dereliction resulting in death. He asked that as a question. So the increased punishment is effectively a couple $1,000 fine and a misdemeanor conviction on a charge of dereliction resulting in death? What was the point? Why court-martial if that's all you're going to do? Why the slap on the wrist when seven people got killed? The charge Kropik faced on Tuesday as part of the plea agreement was less severe than charges announced by the Navy in January, in which Kropik and her two unidentified junior officers on the Fitzgerald faced a combination of charges that included negligent homicide and hazarding a vessel. While not specified in the trial, the nature of the plea agreement suggests Kropik will likely be a prosecution witness at the upcoming court-martial of the then-Fitzgerald commander, Benson, or the two other junior officers who have been charged. How can she testify against anybody? She was the officer of the day. The two watchstanders who were in the CIC during the collision will face a judge on Wednesday for preliminary hearings on criminal charges for their roles in the collision, including hazarding a vessel and negligence. So I'll take this back to Africa. When these things happen and it's nobody's fault, right? Just like at Paris Island. That battalion commander who did not relieve that drill instructor when he was told, he had a hand in that recruit named Siddiqui. He had a hand in his death. He got off. He's going to retire. That's it. What message does that send? The message is we'll understand. I think it's bullshit. Seven people got killed. She was the officer of the deck. And it's her role. If anything's not right, what do? You wake the CO up. Hey, sir, what do you want to do? I don't think it's safe at this speed. I think we ought to proceed at about 12 knots through this because this radar is degraded. This radar is degraded. So I don't feel like I have the situational awareness that I need to run at 20 to 22 knots. What do you think, sir? I think we're going to proceed at 21 knots, and I'll stay here with you. Roger that, sir. And then he takes over. He's the officer of the deck. He's the CEO. That's his decision. But to not wake him up and to say it was confused, that's bullshit, man. That's bullshit. And your tattoo, that's bullshit, too. Guess what would have been better? It would have been better if you would have done your job that night. It would have been better if you would have manned up. And that is when you're confused, put your hand up and say, hey, I'm confused. I need somebody to help me. COXO, whoever, go wake their asses up. And when you don't do it, you should get hammered, man. And I don't know, that is reduced, that is a larger fine, that is, you know, it ain't, the NJP, for God's sakes, that's nothing. And people got killed? Pfft. Joke. Absolute joke. So, we haven't gotten very far in this program for about the third day in a row. There's some headlines in the Marine Corps that, you know, I don't even want to talk about. Grunts may be one step closer to getting a Op Corps style helmet. So the Op Corps style helmet is the special operator helmet. All right, Marine Corps wants more javelins to phase out the aging toes. That's good. My oldest son's a javelin expert. He is. He's a javelin expert. Yeah, his nickname, Javelin. No, it's not really his nickname. The M240 and the 50 cal Modus could be replaced sooner than you think. So those are the headlines. Stars and Stripes, though, my favorite, top of the fold headline. Will anyone be punished? Questions remain after the Pentagon releases its summary on the Niger ambush. The Pentagon released a slim 8-page executive summary of a larger report detailing 6,000. So they distilled into 8 pages a 6,000-page investigation. The full report is 180 pages. They also produced a 10-minute video for the media. All right? Congress saw a 21-minute video. Question is, who pays? Who is responsible? Bet you nobody senior pays. There's also the president's considering a double amputee Army veteran for VA secretary. Representative Brian Mass of Florida. Yeah, he's a Republican member of the House. And he must come from, things must be going good in the district because we're pretty sure that we can get somebody else as a Republican in that seat, which is how this works. All right, who do we got? Talk to me. Brian Mass looks like, well, he's a double amputee, above-the-knee amputee. Wounded while serving in Afghanistan in 2010. So that in the news. Also, yeah, so, I mean, I don't really care. For whatever reason, I don't feel like talking about guns and helmets today. So I'll be challenged when the gunner comes on to find something that Mike wants to talk about. Hopefully his head's okay today. Top five stories in the early bird. I know, Mac. You know what? Let me play the national anthem. It's Friday. Whitney Houston has this thing. And then we'll do the top five in the early bird. And I don't feel like talking about them. I might want to talk about Andrea Merkel. You know, here's one of the things that occurred to me while I was laying in bed reading about the Australians struggling not to get rolled over by the Chinese. Okay? And here's the deal you have to make. Look, you know, since World War II, right, we have all these agreements, right? The United Nations becomes a force. We have international treaties on the law of the high seas. You know, that 12 nautical miles, blah, blah, blah. You can't just say that South China Sea belongs to me now. You know, you can't just, it's not the rule of law. It's not how it works. Okay? It's not how it works. It doesn't matter what the Chinese say. Again, the emperor's new clothes.
Right.
And it's like dealing with crazy people. They keep telling you, you know, crazy stuff. And they're adamant about it. And you look at them and say, no, it's not that way. Yes, it is. It's really not. Because when I point to the floor, that's directions down. It always has been. It always will be. It's, you can't talk me out of that, no matter what you say. Well, that's what the Chinese try to do. Yeah, Andrea Merkel. Why can't Andrea Merkel stand up to anybody? Is that her name, Andrea? Angela? A. Merkel. Why can't A. Merkel, whatever her name is, why can't the Merk stand up to anybody? What is she going to do to them? Sanction them? That's all she can do to them? She doesn't have a military. And to quote Stalin when asked about the Pope, what do you think about what the Pope said? Stalin's reply, how many divisions does the Pope have? None. Yeah, I don't care what the Pope says. Yeah, A. Merkel. Why is she an appeaser? Why is she not part of a strong peace through strength movement in the free world? Why is Germany a freeloader? You can answer that one. But she can't stand up to anybody. What is she going to do? Hit him with a stack of papers? Yeah, Germany can't defend itself. You do. I do. We pay for it. All right, so anyway, that went through my mind this morning, too. So, yeah, so you can see it's been an adventure this morning. All right, so with that said, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem on a Friday. Good morning to you. Morgan, is that German? Yeah, that was dedicated to Andrea Merkel. Or Angela, her sister. Friday, get your blood moving. I just got an email about A. Merkel. Germany, killing me, man. Goob, it's entitled Goob. That's short for goober, I think. Angela, pronounced Oella. Is that how it's pronounced in Germany? Anala. Oh, Anala. Oh, hella. Anala. Let's see. So this is dedicated to the Germans in the hope that you idiots understand the universal axiom of the planet. Peace through strength, okay? And when you're an economic power, let me just tell you this. Okay, I wouldn't even have a problem with this. If you don't want to fund your military, then fund ours. Write us a check for X billion dollars. Okay? Write us a check for that. At least, you know, at least man up. I use that. Is there another non-gender specific thing I can say? At least person up. That sounds like crap. Yeah, at least, sorry, at least man up. All right? At least man up and throw, at least kick some of your money. But when you don't defend yourself and you don't kick any money for the people that are guaranteeing your defense, you're bullshit. So, Germany, you're bullshit. This is dedicated to you idiots, okay? Yeah. Just say thank you. Or pick up a rifle and man a post. Jack Nicholson. In the long version. But either way, I don't give a damn what you think. Jack Nicholson was good in that. Yeah, that's to Germany. This is dedicated to you, too. In the hopes that you'll see your responsibility to the greater good of the free world. Because you have nations like China and Russia that threaten it. Okay? And you should be part of what globally pushes back against that and tells China, hey, look, China, this little game you play in bilateral trade, we got it. But in terms of waterways and how the rules of the international world, this is how it works, okay? This is how it works. So this is dedicated to the Germans, hoping that they do the cranial extraction activity, okay? What is that, Mac? What are you talking about, cranial extraction? Okay, that is getting your head out of your ass, okay? So what you do is, depending on how deep your head is buried in your ass, it may be initially a neck movement. At some point, though, the lower earlobes will be exposed. When they are, grab the earlobes, okay? Grab the earlobes and yank. And at some point, you'll hear a big poof. It'll be a big kind of like popping plop sound, poof, right? And guess what? Whoa, where'd all this light come from? Yo, yeah. Yeah, Heinrich, you just got your head out of your ass. Yeah, that's the sun, jackass.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Okay. Before we go anyplace else, we got to do one more thing. And here it is.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Keep the monkeys in the cage, all right? Time for us to check the weather. Keep them bastard monkeys in the cage, Jeremiah. That is the oral history of mental health in the military. Yeah. Guys walking up, high school educated, fought in Vietnam. Meet a guy who's struggling. Wall that shit off, Jeremiah. You know, Butch Neal just told me. I called him and said, hey, sir, I know you told me you didn't have a map of the area, which kind of told me that I really shouldn't do this, but I figured I would anyway, on a chance. I said, I have a map. Can you point out where 1st and 3rd Platoon were? He said, I'd rather not. I don't go back there. Example, General Butch Neal, keeping the monkeys in the cage, man. That's how people dealt with it, right? That's the advice you got. Wall it off. Don't go back there. Pretty interesting, right? Jeremiah. That's Jeremiah Workman. Hold on, here's a text. Hey, Mac, play that shit again, would ya? Yeah, I'll play it again. Hold on. Here's Jeremiah Workman during my interview with him.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time. Jeremiah.
Okay. He's the recipient of the Navy Cross in Iraq, in Fallujah, for a fight in which they killed 24, and they probably wounded 50, which gives you some indication of the size of the group that he fought that day. Again, and I tell you, very much like what happened in Africa, right? They only fought when they thought they would annihilate you, okay? So I want to say Jeremiah had probably 10 Marines with him, right? So he had the 81-millimeter mortar section with him. And so his burden is, what could I have done that would have saved the three of my Marines that got killed that day? Okay, so that's his burden. Anyway, so the interview, this comes out of that interview. It's an awesome interview. If you've never heard it, get your shit together. Workman, Workman. Put it in the search box on All Marine Radio website. Listen to it. Do it.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
That's awesome. But that is, that's akin to you'll never get over it. The best you'll learn to do is to learn how to live with it. Awesome advice, man. That's how people survive. All right. Sunny in 74 in Quantico, Virginia. Crossroads of the Marine Corps, home of the Cathedral, the National Museum of the Marine Corps. 80 degrees under sunny skies at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny in 77 in Granbury, Texas. Partly cloudy in 48 in Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms. Got a weather alert in 29 Palms. What is that going to be? For wind, I would say. No, I don't think so. Yep, wind. Windy and a high of 85 today. Yeah, so pretty mild out in the desert. Yeah. As you all know, weather advisories intrigue me. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 60. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 74. Marja, cloudy and 88. Clouds in Marja? What's going on? Cloudy and 60 at the home of All Marine Radio. It's going to be 72 here today under sunny skies. That's right. All right, so we'll take a look at some headlines, and then we'll take a break. We'll get the chef on, and we're going to talk about grilling. I did something I've always said that I hated doing. I did it, and I'm not exactly sure if it was the reason why the steaks were better, because I've done a few things to change the way I grill, but it was probably the single best steak I've ever cooked in my life. So anyway, top five stories on the early bird. I've already talked about things I don't want to talk about. Number one, DOD in a state of disconnectivity, says Army Network Program exec. Awesome. Number two, German revenue boom raises chance of defense budget hike. What? This is Defense News. After being constantly harangued by the internet radio giant All Marine Radio, Germany has raised the possibility of an increase in defense spending. I didn't make the headline up. German revenue boom raises chance of defense budget hike. The Germans are so bullshit. Number three, Niger investigation. What went wrong? What's being done to fix it? I want to know who's going to get fired. Let me tell you, if the Navy doesn't send the court martial, the officer of the deck of the vessel that collided, that killed seven people, what in God's name are they thinking about, man? Number four, soldier gets new ear after growing it in her arm. Interesting story. A 19-year-old Army private lost her left ear in a car accident. I first heard of this when some of you may know Tim Maxwell. Okay, Tim Maxwell, Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps, known as Max to his friends. He was the OPSO of 2nd Battalion, 2nd Marines, and I think he was a MU OPSO, one of the two. And I used to work with him, talk to him on the phone every day. He left to go out, do a little battlefield circulation stuff, and they got mortars fell, and he walked underneath them, you know, as randomly being fired, and he was very, very severely injured, brain injury. They took, to relieve the pressure on his brain, they took a part of his skull out. So I asked Roger Turner, is a good friend of Tim Maxwell. So Roger kind of giving us updates because Roger's friends with Max. Roger knows his wife. Their wives are friends and all that. So Roger's getting information that nobody else really gets. So he's explaining, you know, asking him, you know, what's going on. And he said, well, they removed a piece of his skull. I said, well, what did they do with it? He said, well, they put it in his pelvis. And that's how they keep it alive and vibrant and all the rest of that. I'd never heard of that. Anyway, so until then. So the Army private who lost her left ear has a new ear that has grown on her arm and was successfully transplanted onto her head. Private Shamika Burridge underwent the Army's first of its kind total ear reconstruction at William Beaumont Army Medical Center in Texas, according to the news release. She's a supply clerk. Got in a car accident when her front tire blew out, caused her car to swerve, skidding 700 feet before flipping multiple times. She was ejected from the car, suffered head injuries, compressed fractures in her spine, blah, 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 blah. I didn't feel comfortable the way I looked, so the provider referred me to plastic surgery. When doctors explained her options for reconstruction, Burridge was hesitant to commit to the total ear reconstruction. I didn't want to do the reconstruction, but gave it some thought and came to the conclusion that it could be a good thing. I was going to go with a prosthetic to avoid more scarring, but I wanted a real ear, she said. I was just scared at first, but wanted to see what he could do. The reconstruction involved harvesting cartilage from Burge's ribs to carve a new ear out of, which was then placed under the skin of her left forearm to allow it, the ear, to grow. By letting the ear grow under her arm, Burge was able to have feeling in her ear once the rehab process was done, the release said. The ear will have fresh arteries, fresh veins, and even a fresh nerve, so she'll be able to feel it, said Lieutenant Colonel Owen Johnson III, Chief of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery at the Medical Center. Fortunately, Johnson didn't lose any hearing, was able to open her ear canal back up after it had closed due to the trauma. The whole goal by the time she's done with all this, it looks good, it's sensatable, and in 5 years, if somebody doesn't know her, they won't notice, Johnson said. How cool of a story is that? Got her ear back. I love that. Okay. I'm late for the show. But I gotta talk about this. Better than expected estimates of German revenues raised the possibility of increased defense spending. Finance Minister Olaf Scholz, a Social Democrat, said on Wednesday he expects a plus up of almost $10 billion or $12.9 billion in U.S. dollars, $10 billion was German marks, for federal agencies through 2022. The overall surplus, including states and cities, amounts to $63.3 billion. Deutschmarks, or $75 billion. Initial plans are to use the funds on tax relief for middle-class and low-income families, information technology in school, and for pushing broadband internet connectivity throughout Germany. But Scholz also left the door open for an increase in defense and foreign aid. You got to be kidding me. The finance minister and defense secretary, Ursula von der Leyen, have been going toe-to-toe in recent weeks about the level of defense spending in the years ahead. Von der Leyen submitted a formal note of protest against the initial budget draft on May 2nd, which she said falls below 6 billion euros. The Bundeswehr, that's the German army, has been plagued by gapping shortfalls in its equipment. Defense industry ministry leaders have blamed severe budget cuts in the past decades for the situation, arguing much more money is needed to reach an acceptable level of readiness. Critics believe officials should first improve agency management. Oh, my God. Chancellor Angela Merkel, known as A. Merkel here on Allmerin Radio, weighed in on the debate this week, calling the state of the Bundeswehr unsatisfactory. It's unsat. Von der Leyen, the defense minister, is under pressure from Washington to show Germany's movement towards the NATO goal of 2% of gross domestic product. Germany was at 1.5. That's right. The current spending plan would cause damage far beyond the area of foreign policy for Germany, says Christian Mulling, an analyst with the Berlin-based German Council on Foreign Relations. That is because a shortage of funding would undermine Germany's claims for a leadership role in an emerging European defense posture, leaving allies here wondering if Berlin is up to the task. Nobody's wondering that. We know that. Berlin is like, okay, let's go. We're gonna have a parade. We don't have enough tanks to roll down the street. What? Okay, so no tanks. I'm okay with that. No tanks. What about troops? Yeah, we don't have very many of those. Maybe we could muster enough for a parade. Can we put on a demonstration? No, the jets can't fly. Okay, so we're gonna have a little low rent parade. Yeah. I don't want to bring up Nuremberg and the big parades you used to have there, but that's a German parade, okay? Bullshit. Germany, freeloaders, get your shit together. Vladimir Putin's staring down a rifle looking at your dumbasses.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.